Always got to stick my eyes on. Morning, everybody. How are you? Happy Sabbath. I was telling someone earlier, my wife and I are going to have to start leaving sooner from Fort Meade to get over here. We usually give 2 hours, but it's starting to get crowded out there. I guess people are coming down from the north. So we always enjoy being here in St. Pete. For the sermon this morning, the title of the sermon is Have a Fervent Desire for Humility. I mean, do you see a lot of humility out in the world today? A lot of humbleness? I personally don't. I see a lot of friction, a lot of anxiety, a lot of anger. Things that Satan is really stirring up in this world. But the word fervent means having or showing a very warm or intense spirit, feelings or an enthusiasm, to be zealous. A desire is to wish or to long for, to ask for, to solicit, to request. And humility is not proud or arrogant. Courteously respectful. Now that would be something that would be very refreshing in today's world, to see people that are courteously respectful. To be meek. It's a very important strength. Humility is a very important strength in a Christian's life. And we are instructed to have that fervency, that enthusiasm in our Christian living. If you would, turn to Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 9. Romans 12, starting in verse 9. It'd be nice if I was in Romans. There we are. Romans 12, starting in verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cling to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, but fervent in prayer, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So fervent in spirit. That enthusiasm, we are to be enthusiastic about God and His calling for us. Is such a wonderful thing, a wonderful gift that God is giving us, that calling, and about loving others. In 1 Peter chapter 4, I want to say hello to those on the webcast, and good morning to you. First Peter 4, in verse 8. And above all things, have fervent love among yourselves. For love shall cover the multitude of sins. So we see where it's to be positioned. It's to be positioned above all things. So that enthusiasm for God, loving others, and also for our prayers and our repentance before God. In James chapter 5, in James chapter 5 and verse 16, we are to confess our faults one to another and to pray one for another. that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So here we see fervent prayers. Those intense prayers, those heartfelt, zealous prayers for one another and to our Father in Jesus Christ. Our desire is to be like Christ. He is our example. In the Sermon on the Mount, if you would start turning to Matthew 5, here we see Christ speaking to the multitude and to his disciples. Matthew 5, starting in verse 3. And we see what Christ starts off with in the Beatitudes. It says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," or we could say, "Blessed are the humble in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." So again, humility is a strength that we should be working towards, because there is just so much out there that's wanting to make us not be humble, makes us want to be argumentative with the world. But we're not to be part of the world. We're to come out of it. We're to show that love, that concern for one another, not only our brethren here today on God's Sabbath, but those around us that are deceived by Satan. And as we continue through the Beatitudes, you'll see where humble, or humility, really applies to each of these following. "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." That humbleness, the humility of people that mourn. "Blessed are the meek." Just as Christ's example, he is meek. We are to be meek in this world. "For they shall inherit the earth." "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." The hunger and thirst that we should have each day. Not just of the physical food, but we're speaking the spiritual, God's word, the life, the bread of life. Verse 7, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." We can see humility in all of these aspects. "And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Do we really see God in our life? We read his word. We believe his word. We've been called by God. That faith and that hope. We see God all around us in our life. "And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Are we peacemakers? God calls us his sons and daughters, and we are to become that when Christ returns and we're changed into our spiritual body for eternity. But now, do you see yourselves being peacemakers in our prayers, in our actions, our life? "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." As we see all around us, and the persecution that has been stated and prophesied to come upon this world at the end time, are we ready? Are we closer to God today than we were yesterday, or last week, or last month, or last year? Are we growing in that? Because we know that persecution is coming. How are we going to handle it? Are we going to fight back? Or are we going to be loving and outgoing with Christ's example here of all the strengths and attributes that we're to possess and show within our life? "Blessed are you when you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So can we see where that fervent desire for humility is very necessary in this life for us to be prepared for what's coming, what's ahead of us? The vast majority of mankind continues to be deceived by the great deceiver, Satan the devil. And they will continue to be deceived up to the point that Satan is put away. But they will come to know God's truth eventually. And that's where the humility comes into play. We are to not think of ourselves, puff ourselves up to say, well, we know things that you don't know. You know, we're something. God is calling us, but to be servants, to serve others, not just in our spiritual family, but in the world, those around us, so they may see and glorify God through our examples, our righteous and holy examples that God gives us. We're not righteous or holy on our own. God gives us that. God chooses various events in our lives to teach us a lesson, and a very important lessons intended for us to remember and grow spiritually from them, because it's a learning process, such as having and showing humility. In James chapter 4, James chapter 4 and verse 10, we read, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." So we're to be humbling ourselves in the sight of the Lord, meaning we're to be going before God each day to stay close in contact with our Father, with our elder brother. We're to always be in his sight. He sees everything. God knows everything. But he also has to see that we're wanting this life that he has called us to. He wants us to prove to him that we have that fervent desire for his word. A parallel verse or scripture to this is back in the Old Testament in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, if my people, and let's apply that to our lives today, we are God's people. God has called us. We continue to choose that calling, to follow that calling. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So we see that we're to be praying, acknowledging daily our sins to God, and recognizing and showing glory and honor to God's holiness and that calling. We're to seek God's face. We're to set aside every distraction, and there are many, many around us. These are distractions that are competing with Christ, competing with our time with God. So who's winning? Is our time with God winning more than our distractions are winning in our life? And we're to turn from our wicked ways. We're not spirit yet. We're not eternal yet. We're human. We're mortal. We're still sinning. But we have to change our life. We have to recognize in our life when we do sin. Because we may be so comfortable in our daily life that we may not be able to recognize right away. It may come to us later, but we may not recognize when we sin that we've actually sinned. But we have to be conscious in our mind and in our heart by God's word and ask God to show us, to change our heart and our minds, to show us where we are sinning and where we need to improve. Because we should not be lifting ourselves up or exalting ourselves. Nor should we be exhibiting any type of prideful attitude, because pride comes before a fall. And we do not want to stumble in this life. We're to have a little child's attitude, and God is looking for this. You realize it's been 4 weeks since the blessing of little children? That was so wonderful that we had one little child that was blessed that day here in St. Pete. I was watching that. And it's always, to me, a part of the year that's very close, because I recall when our children were blessed. And now with their families, and, you know, they're growing. And it's such a wonderful thing. In Matthew 18, I mean, we still had this service over in Tampa. There were no little ones to be blessed there, but we still went through the verses and the scriptures to rehearse that. In Matthew 18, starting in verse 1 through 4, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Who's the greatest? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. In verse 3, and Christ said, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Well, I've always sort of read through verse 3 to get to verse 4, but I'll come back to verse 3 in a minute. Verse 4. "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Well, in verse 3, we have to realize and recognize, and I'm sure we do, that we're to be converted, to become as a little child, that attitude, that innocence. But it says that you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven if you don't. There's a prerequisite there. You need to do this in order to do this. So I found myself when I was going through this preparation that there were times I just sort of breezed right over that. Well, we have to be acceptable to God. So that humility, that innocence, that pureness of a little newborn. And then we look at our lives today. At the snap of a finger, there may be a spurt of anger. Whether it's driving through traffic, or whether it's waiting on a meal at a restaurant, or something a spouse may have said that just sort of sparked. Well, that's things that, no. No, that's not what we're saying here. That's not innocence. So I find myself stepping back and saying, "Whoa, wait a minute. Let's really concentrate on the words that God has recorded for us here." Because we know that God has called us. and he has placed us here in his church. And through his Holy Spirit lives within us. Because I've said, we're not righteous or good on our own. We're not. We cannot be. Because this is something that God's righteousness and goodness is shown to us and is given to us when God calls us. When we repent and we're baptized and we receive God's Spirit, moving forward. In 1 Peter chapter 2, I mean, when you read the newspapers or the magazines or you see things on YouTube, they're just so, it just makes you cringe and sigh and pray for the soon return of Christ and that day to be here quickly. Seek first the kingdom of God. In 1 Peter 2, starting in verse 1 through 5, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, hypocrisies, envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Verse 4, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. To really think during Christ's time of how they rejected the very Son of God, the very Creator, the Word, God, God's Son, how they rejected him. Verse 5, you also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. An attitude of desiring the Word of God and learning what He says, believing and letting Him direct us, following His roadmap, following His GPS directions, desiring Him to reveal more of His spiritual meaning from the Scriptures as we continue to study them. And this is why it's so important. Participating in the Zoom Bible studies, the Zoom booklet reviews are so very helpful to those that are able to join. And that is so wonderful for Mr. Wendt and Belinda to come into our homes on a Wednesday evening to share God's Word, to expound on that, to help us grow. We don't want to be stagnant. We always want to grow. So they are helping us. And we're so appreciative of that. We are so thankful for that. Because with all the noise and the clutter that's all around us in this world, because Satan is there just stirring it up, stirring all that wickedness and deceitfulness on mankind. Of course, they don't know that. They're deceived. But we know that. And there is no humility being shown by nations or peoples today. One day, when Christ returns and his government is set up, that will change. Satan's time is getting shorter. He knows this. We've been told that. But we also should realize that our time also of being ready is getting shorter day by day. So it's very important, very vital that we step up if we've been stagnant, if we've been lax. These are areas that we need to go to God for forgiveness. These are areas we need to go to God to ask for strength, to continue, to carry on, to fight the good fight, to endure to the end. So are we going to be ready when Christ returns? I mean, that's always in the back of my mind. Am I going to be ready? Will I be ready? Because we're to have a sense of urgency, a sense of serving and building a togetherness. And I feel that togetherness when we come on God's Sabbath day, when we're here observing what God has commanded us to observe, to talk with one another, to share with one another. If you would, turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, starting in verse 15 and going through 16. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And with this Thanksgiving season coming up, just not giving thanks to God once a year. It's giving thanks to God every day of our life. Verse 16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. And through our prayers, we have that open line to God at any time, day or night. It's there. He's there. Because Satan would love for us to be mired down in the troubles of this world, of our life, our work, school, whatever it may be. Because he's constantly lobbing things in our direction. Here, let's try this. Okay, I know your buttons to push. I'm going to push that button again. Has he improved? But we must vividly, fervently desire and to remember why we're here and that vision of God's coming kingdom. Christ acknowledged that there would be times that we would have difficulties and problems. I'm looking around. I see the difficulties, the problems of people that we've prayed for. We continue to pray for you, each and every one of you. It's the great thing about the photo album. Just go through it. Because you're a little different over here in St. Pete compared to Tampa, although there's some similarities. You can sort of pray for people remembering where they sit. Because they're creatures of habit. They sit in the same area, so you can usually cover everybody just from visually remembering. In Tampa, the hall setup is just two sections. So you can start over here and work your way back, start over here and work your way back. Then you go to the photo album saying, now I know I've forgotten somebody. You know. And then you just go to it and, oh yeah, that person, okay, this person, that person. So, you know, you got to have fun with it. You really do, because it's amazing. But these difficulties and problems, and things would not always go well for us. I'm sure we've all experienced that at some point in our life. But God has made promises, and God cannot lie. He keeps his promises to us, and they will not be broken. They will not be broken. If you would, turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12, starting in verse 12. We'll go through verse 15. It says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God. So we know who he's talking to, each and every one of us. as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, the bowels of mercies, that deep inner yearning, fervent desire within us, kindness, humbleness of mind. I mean, just that phrase alone just sort of makes you just sort of draw a breath like, humbleness of mind. Just like the humbleness of your heart. Meekness, long-suffering, all of these strengths that a Christian should have and be living. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. So forgive others. Verse 14, and above all, again, above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness or unity. Verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And we're going to need that. We're going to need that so much to overcome what's coming at us. Satan is always coming at us, but we don't know what instruments that are out there that he has access to that's going to be next. Is it going to be family? Is it going to be jobs? Is it going to be health issues? Is it going to be home? What will it be? Neighbors? Whatever it is, we have to be ready, and we have to have that peace of God rule in our hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. And that's why we pray for each other. We're of that body, and we are to be praying for that body, each and every one of you. And we are to be thankful. Thankful to God. Thankful to his Son, Jesus Christ. Thankful for each and every one of you. Thankful for God's plan for mankind. Because we need to recognize and acknowledge our total dependence upon the Lord and seeking his will for every decision. Because there's a lot of those around. Decision, decision, decision. And most of all, don't let Satan bring us down. In Matthew chapter 11, if you would go there with me, please. Matthew 11, starting in verse 28 through 30. Here we see Christ speaking. Christ says in verse 28 of Matthew 11, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Christ is our example. We are to be like him. He is meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So he wants for us to come to him, to not be separate, not to be estranged from him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 17 through 18. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be you separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So we're not to be mixed up in all these things in the world that we know Satan is firing up. that we know will not help us have that and build that humility in our life, or that meekness, or that love. Things that will compete and distract us, let's stay away from those. God wants us to be his sons and daughters, the great God of the universe. And we should never forget the excitement of our calling. The purpose of being called now, why we are being called as part of the first fruits, and the opportunity that we will have to help one another, not only now, but in the future. This is a great opportunity for us all, and God has called us now to be part of that. Such a wonderful gift. In 1 John chapter 4, you know, it's been 4 weeks since the blessing of children. You realize it's been 6 weeks since the end of the feast. Time is fleeting by. Has the worries of the world or the things of the world been creeping back in? You just want to bump them out of your life, punch them out, sweep them out, vacuum them up, cast them out. Well, we stay close to God, we can do that. In 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 7, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. The four letters are in that word, love. From God. God is love. Verse 8, he that loves not knows not God, for God is love. There's not a whole lot of love in this world being shown right now. A lot of animosity, a lot of hatred, a lot of tearing down. But we have to look beyond that. We are not to be part of that. God wants us to be part of his family, and we're to be continually building in that direction. Verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Of that love of giving his only begotten Son. Verse 10, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Can we see that, of how that fervent desire for humility, that we really need to have that connection to build and to have that type of love with our father and our elder brother? You know, never for one minute become too busy to express our love to God. In the 24 hours in the day, we need to be constantly expressing our love to our Father and not let any mundane things interfere. It's easier said than done. I understand that. Because there will be moments and days where I'll say, oh, I need to stop and get over here and talk to my father. You know, I need to either study his word or go in prayer. You know, I need to set up a time for fasting. You need to be energetic, enthusiastic about all of these areas that God is looking for in our life. To stay humble in all things. And because of all that's been going on, I mean, it's just sort of building to a crescendo. It's just like a tsunami coming at us. It's building. So we really have to buckle down. God is very long-suffering, very forgiving. But like I said, each day that goes by, we're getting that much closer. So we need to really bear down on it and stay humble in all things. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8 of Philippians chapter 2. But made himself of no reputation, speaking of Christ here, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So here we see, and we've been told, that our example above all things, our example is Jesus Christ. Where do we fit in this if that should come to us? Would we be obedient unto death? Whatever that may be. I'm not saying it's going to happen. We see in Matthew 24, it talks about the great tribulation and things that will be occurring. But are we putting on Christ? Are we looking in a mirror and saying, yes, we're getting there? You know, we're using our elder brother, the Son of God, as our example. God continues to grant us understanding. And the more we read and study, the deeper it should be getting. And that's the amazing thing about the scriptures that we are going through. And I know, speaking for myself, I can study it day after day after day and really never fully comprehend what God knows. Nowhere near what God knows. And understand the words, just as I've said earlier. Some verses you just sort of breeze over. You're used to reading it to get to another specific point, but there are so many things in what you've already read that you have to concentrate and get deeper into God's Word. And again, that's why I like the Bible studies. It really makes you stop and think, because there's always room for growth in our life, especially spiritual growth. And we should be constantly studying and seeking more understanding. We really need to make that choice of having a humble attitude, a teachable attitude, and to be placing our every need and want with our Heavenly Father and our elder brother. Again, coming to that point in our life, not knowing when our life will end, but coming to that point in our life of having enough of this world, you know, where we sigh and we cry for the abominations that we're witnessing. They're all around us. If you would, turn to Ezekiel chapter 9. Ezekiel 9, starting in verse 3 and 4. Speaking about abominations and the sighing and crying. Ezekiel 9, verse 3. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed in linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. In verse 4, and the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. Now, I read something like this and I think about today of what's going on in our world, in our communities, not just in Jerusalem, where this was being focused to, but around us. Where would we stand in this scenario? Are we getting close to God and His Word, following His commandments, His statutes, and His laws, wanting that life, that future eternity? Are we sighing and crying? Would there be a mark on our forehead? Because we know what happened in the story of those that did not have the mark. They were destroyed. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, there are times in your life you catch yourself and you just, and my wife has noticed this, there are times we'll be sitting at the dinner table and without even knowing it, she'll see me shaking my head. And she'll ask me, what, you okay? But it's something I've been thinking about that I've either read about, I've heard about, that's gone on in the world. And you just sort of shake your head and you're thinking to yourself, oh, Father, we need your Son's return. We need you. So we, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 1 through 4, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We have God's Holy Spirit. We have God. We are the temple of God living within us. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Looking forward to that day when we're resurrected, we're changed. If so be that being clothed, we should not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan. Think about that in your life. We do groan. We're being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. So the mortal will put on immortality, God's gift to us. So what is our goal? Do we have any goals? Do we have any plans? A lot of people say, well, I'm going to make New Year's resolutions. I'm going to have this plan. I'm going to have this goal. Well, we should be looking at that from a daily perspective and following those, especially from the spiritual perspective, the most important, the above all things. So what is our goal moving forward? Do we have a realistic plan? If we have God-centered in those goals and God-centered in our plans, we could call them realistic because God's made those promises to us. And if we follow that and we keep God-centered in us, then we will succeed in life with those goals and those plans. In Galatians chapter 5, Galatians 5, starting in verse 25 and 26. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now I'll add to that, each day of our life. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. This life is temporary. This mortal is temporary, but it's important for us in our life to use this temporary state to grow and to build towards that future life that God is wanting to give us. So I just used humility today, but we've seen many others. If you look at the fruits of the Spirit, all the other strengths of a Christian's life that God shows us in His Word. We should all have that fervent desire for each and every one of those words, those actions in our life. And let's work on it. Let's work to have that fervent desire to make humility a part of our being. Because by doing that, we'll be very receptive and very able to have a fervent desire for all the other aspects of God's calling in that life, to serve others now and in God's kingdom, praying for one another, having that fervent prayer for one another, to listen intently to others, which also means be willing to talk amongst ourselves, share your blessings, share your life with us, so that we can do that to God for you. And that's the only, there's an area where you get the weekly prayer request from headquarters. But some of them, when you read them, it's already happened. Oh, I'm going to have an operation, but it was 3 days ago. Well, you're still praying for them that everything went well. But share. Mr. Wendt put out the contact information. Make sure that information is correct, so that when we're praying for you, or we want to get in touch with you via email or phone call, that we're not hindered by wrong information. So that's another area just to keep in your mind and in your heart, that that is very important for the family of God, for us, Tampa, St. Pete, as well as other congregations. Just a little side note there. But we need to be volunteering where needed. I don't consider praying for people as volunteering. I consider praying for my family as a fervent desire for love for that sister or that brother, our widows, all of these areas. So we need to be making this a part of our daily celebration, because we're dealing with God and God's family. It's a celebration. And just imagine that marriage supper coming in the future. What a celebration that will be. We want to be there. So let's work on it. Now, I'm not giving you any homework assignments, like some people like to do, but let's work on it. Let's have that fervent desire for humility. Enjoy the rest of your Sabbath.